Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call's One Planet series. The 15th Annual International Ocean Film Festival kicks off this Thursday in San Francisco with 48 ocean-themed short and feature films. For 4 days, filmmakers from around the globe will show their films, which focus on a range of topics, from simply documenting the beauty of our oceans to raising awareness around issues like species extinction and plastic pollution. On today's Your Call, we are spending the hour talking about the festival. Anna Blanco is Executive Director of the International Ocean Film Festival, and she joins me in studio. Hi, Anna. Nice to see you.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. And we're also joined by Linda Booker, director of the documentary Straw, which focuses on the problems caused by plastic pollution and what it will take to end our addiction to plastic. Here is a fact that is really hard to believe. In fact, I didn't believe it. I had to look up the fact twice. Every single day in the United States, 520 million straws are used just once and then tossed. 520 million a day. Linda Booker joins us from the studios of WHQR in Wilmington, North Carolina. Hi, Linda. Welcome to the show and congratulations on a very important film.
Thank you. And I thank you very much for inviting me to join you on the show today.
Thank you. Well, Anna, you're on the show every year. This is one of my favorite festivals. This is the 15th anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, it is. We're super excited. And thanks for having us every year. It's such a great opportunity to share our mission with your listeners.
Well, it's interesting to think about how far we've really come because issues around the ocean and ocean acidification, coral reefs, plastic, it's now getting international headlines on a regular basis.
In fact, it is. We're seeing it more and more. And a lot of it has to do with films like ours that are raising the public conversation about these key issues. And with all the conversation about global climate change, you're also hearing a lot more about the ocean and therefore what's affecting it and what can we do to protect it.
Can you talk about the changes that you feel like you've seen over the years with all of this awareness raising and laws are being passed? It's really important to talk about that because public policy really needs to change to affect these issues. What really stands out for you?
You know, it's interesting because I think over the years, the films are getting better. The subject matter is leaning a lot towards the issues that need to be addressed. And it's such a great way to communicate to anyone what needs to happen on the legislative end. So we're seeing a lot more action taken. We're seeing a lot more policy being driven by films that have been experienced by people at film festivals like ours. You know, with one of the films we showed was Sand Wars a while ago, you know, that helped to lead to the closing of the sand mining business that was in Marina, which is just north of Monterey, which was causing a lot of erosion. A lot of our shark finning films and the efforts of our shark group are leading to legislations banning shark finning. And there's a lot of shark finning that happens here in the United States. The demand for it is here in the United States. So there's a lot of legislation. Most recently, the governor of Nevada signed a bill that said we could not import shark fins. And a lot of people don't know that that was actually even happening.
Let's talk about some of the films that you're excited about. I'm looking right now at a huge program. Again, there's 48 films. One of the films I cannot wait to see is Albatross, a film by Chris Jordan. And the description says, a million albatross breed on Midway Island where they have no natural predators, enabling us to see up close their courtship dances and their encouragement to chicks breaking out of their shelves. We also see chicks gulping down plastic mistakenly scooped up by parents on foraging journeys. This is going to show Sunday at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I should say it's at the Cal Theater at the Fort Mason Center in San Francisco.
That's correct. That's correct. So Albatross is such a special film. It's a 97-minute film, and it took Chris Jordan 10 years to make. And what's so beautiful about it is that we see so many films in the film festival about plastics, obviously, and we do see that image constantly of a bird that's on the beach that's decayed, and yet the plastic is still there. What I like so much about Albatross is that it is a poetic film that shows so much more about the life of an albatross. It shows their courtship. It shows them living. It shows them in just their natural state of life, and not so much that classic photo that you see all the time of them dead and on the beach and with too much plastic in there.
Linda, this is directly connected to your film, Straw. When did you first learn about the plastic pollution crisis?
Well, I think I've always had some awareness around that we have a big problem with litter and plastic litter. But it wasn't until I really dove into the research for the film, which we was actually approached with this topic back in April of 2015, and then I started doing the research when I realized I had no idea the enormity that it had and the levels that it had reached. And even since then, more and more research has been coming out that indicates we were at really a kind of, you know, a moment when people are starting to pay attention because of the enormity of the issue. I think I have not seen this kind of reaction and attention to it on the level that there's been, I would say, even in the last 6 months. And I think with the UN Environmental Assembly making it one of their focus points, and entire countries really looking at single-use plastic and looking at policy to change their use of it, this is really an emerging issue.
Yes, we did a show years ago just about the companies that make this plastic, because we often say plastic, right? But who's making this? I mean, it's a billion-dollar industry. The New York Times recently had a piece about all of the bans on plastic straws in restaurants expanding to so many cities. The latest is Malibu. Before that came Seattle, Davis, San Luis Obispo, Miami Beach, Fort Myers, Florida. So cities are finally really taking action on this. The other thing I loved about your film, Linda, is you looked at the history of straws. This is something I've really never thought about. What did you learn about the history of straws?
Well, yeah, that was a lot of fun to delve into. And I'm very lucky that I have one of my colleagues is an animation artist, as well as many other talents. And we worked together before in another documentary I did. And I wanted to bring in kind of something that was a little more lively and fun to watch, and yet give you some important information about man's, you know, humankind's addiction to these drinking tubes, which is actually kind of funny. That's what they were called for a long time, was drinking tubes, which started thousands of years ago in Mesopotamia, and where Sumerians were drinking beer through these, you know, clay drinking tubes or gold straws. So it was fun. But it was also very informative, because it also gave sort of the background of, well, why are humans using straws to begin with? Mm. And we talk about that a little bit. You know, why do we use them to begin with?
One fact that I found interesting, in the 1950s, the rise of the automobile brought with it fast food and the rise of disposable dinnerware, and plastic straws were soon everywhere. And it's a great question, why do we even use straws? Anna, what do you think about just changing the way that we interact with things like plastic, right? Mm-hmm. Because in Linda's film, you can do something as easy as, when you go to a restaurant, say, no straw, please, and then talk to management and ask them to carry paper straws so they're compostable. Mm-hmm. But I went out on Saturday night, and I was just looking around, and in every cocktail, there were two small straws. Because when you think about 520 million straws a day, how is that possible? Well, if every bar and restaurant is putting two straws in every cocktail, you can see how that's possible.
And it's interesting, because people aren't asking for the straws. They're just automatically put in. About 2 weeks ago, I did a presentation to a restaurant, actually, and showed the trailer from the film Straws. And there were people who were sitting in the restaurant, and they had their cocktails and they had their straws. And the next day, they sent me an email and thanked me for being there. But they also said, we're now straw-free as a result of the film.
Linda, what effect do straws have on wildlife?
Well, we know, as you were talking about, that birds, unfortunately, a lot of seabirds are eating plastic. There really hadn't been any we knew that straws were out there. They're floating in the oceans. They're coming in contact with marine life, but there hadn't really been quite the photographic evidence until Christine Figner, who is in our film, captured a turtle off the coast of Costa Rica on a research boat, and they pulled this turtle in, and here they saw something in its nose, and they investigated, and it ended up being a plastic straw. And that's what she says in the film. She's like, here, I finally have the proof to show the world what one straw can do to hurt an animal. And that video has gone viral globally, and it's really been the catalyst, I think, for this much, much more attention. It's sparked so many individuals, groups, school kids to take on this issue and to do these campaigns. And that's what's been amazing, is to see people really coming together about something as small as a straw, but it's a much bigger issue. It's not just the straw. I mean, we're talking about, when you mentioned about fast food and this takeaway ware that is plastic, it's everything from the lids to the cups, to the cups, to the utensils. And that's what a lot of these policies are addressing. It's not just the plastic straw. It's everything that becomes eventually plastic litter that could eventually get into a watershed system and eventually end up in our oceans.
You can see Straws March 10th at 10 a.m. at the Cal Theater in San Francisco. It's at the Fort Mason Center, one of the 48 films that will be screened as part of the International Ocean Film Fest, which kicks off this Thursday in San Francisco. You can find links to the lineup and tickets at yourcallradio.org. Linda Booker is director of the documentary Straw, which focuses on plastic pollution. Every day, 520 million straws are used just once and then tossed. And this is another shocking statistic. That 520 million number does not include the 4 billion juice box straws consumed and thrown out every year. Starbucks alone uses 1.5 billion plastic straws per year. Today, we're also joined by Anna Blanco, Executive Director of the International Ocean Film Festival. And if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. So much awareness raising is now happening around all of these issues: acidification, coral reefs, species extinction, plastic pollution. What are your thoughts about just all of the information that's out there, the films? There are going to be films that focus on very serious issues, but also films that just allow you to escape for an hour and a half and spend time underwater. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org, and we're also live on Facebook. You can find it at facebook.com/KALW. Anna, what really struck you about straws and also just the awareness around plastic pollution? Again, we're seeing bans on plastic straws in Malibu, Seattle, Davis, San Luis Obispo, Miami Beach, Fort Myers, Florida. Some people are now talking about banning single-use plastic across the board because it's such a crisis.
Well, we'd love to see that, obviously. And what I like about being here in San Francisco is that we, I believe, started the trend on banning the use of single-use plastic bags. So if we could do it with single-use plastic bags, then why can't we do it with straws? And what I like so much about the film is that it's 33 minutes long. The content is really tight, but yet friendly and engaging. It's got a lot of really good information. And what I really like about it is that it starts out from the perspective of a young child, where he's asked, why do we actually even need straws? And so it's a really entertaining film, but yet full of information that really raises awareness about something that we really need to be discussing more.
You also point out in the film, Linda, and you do it in a very effective way, that 8 million metric tons of trash goes into the ocean globally. So if you're standing on the ocean, you take up a foot of space. 8 million metric tons would be about 5 grocery bags filled with plastic bags on every foot of coastline around the world.
Yeah, I was so glad we could get up with Jenna Jembeck, who is one of the researchers that came up with that number. And that's a mid-range number, so it could actually even be higher. And then she gives an estimate that it could be, 25 million metric tons if we keep going at this rate, or higher than that. And I love that she was able to bring it down to a scale that I could even understand. Because when you start getting into millions and billions, we kind of lose scope of what that does even look like. But I love that analogy of the plastic bags being stacked up in front of you, because if you think about it, that's every foot of coastline around the world. And then you can sort of see it then, how it becomes that ginormous amount. And I was so grateful for the people we got to interview because, you know, as someone pointed us out in the film, it's not like plastic is actually everywhere in the ocean. It's concentrated in areas and gyres, which is why, you know, these currents are taking it from one country or continent to another place in the world. And that's why, you know, places like Midway Island is so vastly inundated with this plastic and microplastics. And that's a whole other topic I'm sure we'll get to here in this hour.
Well, let's hear from Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. I have a peculiar question about my own peculiar vice, because I'm a very ecological person. I don't buy a lot of stuff. I reuse stuff and all that, and I use natural things. But I have one vice, which is glitter. And I heard recently that glitter finds its way to fish and hurts them. And I'm wondering, can I hold on to my glitter, and if I just don't go in the ocean or rivers with it, and just simply wash it off in the shower?
Can I answer that?
Please, Linda.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned glitter. We actually have a shot in the film. When we were filming Jenna in this gorgeous botanical park in Athens, Georgia, she's walking through the lawn with her young boys, and they stopped, and there was all this glitter on the ground. And they're actually picking it up, and it's all plastic. The problem is when you're out there doing those beautiful celebrations, birthday parties, weddings, and you're throwing that glitter around out in the environment, it's going to get washed somewhere eventually by rainwater. And, you know, stormwater is a big contributor to pollution and water quality. So even though it seems like I'm in the middle of nowhere, I'm not near a creek or a river, eventually it can make its way there. And the other thing I want to point out is that that little tiny piece of plastic glitter is going to outlive you. Mm-hmm. It's going to be here, you know, for a century, maybe more, because plastic takes forever to eventually break down. I mean, a lot of people say plastic is forever. At some point it would, but it can, as you know, it could take centuries, you know, hundreds of years for that plastic to break down.
Well, thank you for calling, Judy. If you'd like to join us, I'd love to hear, just in terms of habits, because we all have these habits, and in the name of convenience, we are now seeing so much more single-use plastic. The straw that is surrounded by plastic is on a plastic box for children's juices, and this is something that people just get used to. People buy things in bulk, and then you just throw it away without thinking about it. So when you hear these statistics about 520 million straws being used and tossed every day, and then the effect it has on wildlife, what are your thoughts about, you know, what makes you really change your habits and think twice about doing this, and then putting more pressure on politicians to pass laws to ensure that we actually deal with all the plastic in the ocean? I mean, it's affecting so many other things that the films focus on at the International Film Fest. But what do you think about habits and how we change habits? 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Linda Booker is director of the documentary Straw, which screens March 10th at 10 a.m. at the Cal Theater in San Francisco's Fort Mason Center. And Anna Blanco is executive director of the International Ocean Film Festival. It kicks off this Thursday with 48 ocean-themed short and feature films. Anna, can you talk about some other films that focus on, you know, really raising awareness about issues and a sort of a call to action?
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites is called Reefs at Risk. And it's a short 11-minute film by Melina Fagan of Hawaii. And it really focuses on how suntan lotion, sunblock, specifically the kind that you spray on your body, how it gets into the air, how it gets into the water, and how lethal it is for coral reefs. And in 1985, when the tourist industry started to take off in Hawaii, they were seeing that was kind of the beginning of the decline for a lot of coral reefs. So the film really focuses on not using suntan oil or using something that's organic, that's environmentally friendly. And it's that one is as part of our surf program, which is one of our more popular programs. And that's 11 minutes long on Friday night at 7 p.m. We also gave it the Environment Award. So we gave out 10 awards this year to a variety of films covering a lot of different topics. Another one that we really like, which is really more about enjoying the ocean, is our first film from Latvia. And it's called Touched by the Ocean. And it's about two friends who decide to row the South Atlantic. They have no experience whatsoever. They just jump in a boat and say, we're going to row. And it's really about their adventure, their challenges, how the ocean can surprise them with storms and then the next day be so calm. And it really just is an adventure in the ocean in a place that we most of us will never get to, but it tells a story of how wonderful that is.
And that's on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Talking about enjoying the ocean, Anna, I was watching some of the trailers for the International Women's Day event, and those just look so beautiful, about women just enjoying the ocean, swimming, mm-hmm. and being underwater.
It shows their love for the ocean and how I think we as women connect to the ocean. You know, we came from the ocean, how we go back, how it nurtures us, and how we just have this ability to really enjoy and be inspired by how we can connect with it.
Mm. We have a comment on Facebook from Elizabeth going back to plastic. She says, what about talking to restaurant owners associations? How about going to bartending school? That is a great idea.
That's a fabulous idea because that's where it really does start. None of us really ask for a straw unless we really, really want one. But yet you walk away with, like you said, two straws or at least one straw. And then most people just take it out and lay it down. And then who knows where it ends up after that.
You know, the other thing, Linda, there's a conversation around individual action versus policy changes and pressuring corporations. I think you need all three. And when you look at just the awareness that's happened over the years, what some groups are doing when they're picking up trash is they're looking at the packaging and saying, okay, look at this. Coca-Cola and Nestle are the top two. And so recently you had 11 major companies, Coca-Cola, Walmart, Pepsi, Mars, come out saying that by 2025, they are going to use reusable or compostable packaging. Mm-hmm. That was a huge announcement. A lot of people said, well, can you do it next year? But they are going to take action by 2025. Can you talk about the significance of that, Linda?
Well, I think it's wonderful. Anytime a company takes responsibility and does something in a positive direction to sort of mitigate the damage their products are doing, it's fantastic, and they should be receive some kudos for that. I think what made me, when you were talking about that, what made me wonder is, will we be able to catch up then, however, with the required amount of commercial compostable facilities that would actually be able to take care of that packaging? Because right now, a lot of places, San Francisco does have commercial facilities, high heat facilities that can handle a compostable plastic straw or a plate or a cup. But unfortunately, in very many areas, those facilities do not exist. And so the shame of that, what's unfortunate about that too, is also I think a lot of people feel like they're doing the right thing. A lot of restaurant owners, you know, want to be sustainable. They want to do something good. And so they're buying a lot of compostable plastic that unfortunately doesn't reach those places, and it just ends up in the garbage or it ends up in a recycle bin, which waste management is not a big fan of the stuff. It's complicated, and I think that's why what's great is to see more and more engineering and invention coming along that is coming up with more truly biodegradable products. I mean, right now the only marine biodegradable straw is a paper straw. So I think more and more of these products will become used as people start getting educated around the awareness of between plastic and compostable plastic and recyclable plastic.
Linda Booker is director of the documentary Straw, which focuses on the problems caused by plastic pollution and what it will take to end our addiction to plastic. Every single day in the United States, about 520 million straws are used once and then tossed, and that does not include the 4 billion juice box straws consumed and thrown out every year. Starbucks alone uses 1.5 billion plastic straws every year. The documentary Straws screens March 10th at 10 a.m. at the Cal Theater in San Francisco at the Fort Mason Center. And we're also joined today in studio by Anna Blanco, executive director of the International Ocean Film Fest. It kicks off this Thursday, 4 days of incredible films, 48 films from around the globe. And you can find information at yourcallradio.org. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will check in with teachers in West Virginia. We spoke with them last week about their strike, and it is continuing. So we will start tomorrow's show by talking about that strike, and then we'll also be joined by graphic designer Bonnie Siegler. We'll talk about her new book, Signs of the Resistance. It's a book filled with protest images from some of the most important social movements of our time, from the suffrage struggle to Black Lives Matter. That's tomorrow. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, yourcall@kalw.org. Today we are talking about the International Ocean Film Festival. It's the 15th festival, kicking off this Thursday in San Francisco with 48 ocean-themed short and feature films. It's really an amazing festival. There's films about things like plastic pollution, climate change, species extinction. There's also films that allow you to just escape for an hour and just spend time underwater watching orcas and whales and turtles and manta rays. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. Today we're joined by Anna Blanco, executive director of the International Ocean Film Fest. Linda Booker is director of the documentary Straw. You can see that Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Cal Theater in San Francisco at the Fort Mason Center. And now I would like to welcome award-winning photographer Kate Weber to the show. Kate's debut feature film, called Kim Swims, follows Kim Weber, who in 2015 became the first woman to swim 30 miles from the Farallon Islands to the Golden Gate Bridge. And Kim Swims screens this Thursday at 8 o'clock. Hi, Kate. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you. Congratulations on the film. In addition to following this amazing swim, it's just the film is full of beautiful footage at the Farallon Islands. When did you first learn about Kate Weber? I'm sorry, about Kim Weber.
Kim Chambers.
Kim Chambers. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I learned about Kim probably about 4 or 5 years ago now, just from swimming in aquatic park myself and heard about this woman who was originally from New Zealand, a former ballerina, and heard about her amazing story of almost losing her leg and finding swimming and going on to complete some of the world's most well-known open water marathon swims, and I thought that was just amazing. And so at some point a little bit after that, when I shed my wetsuit and started swimming out of the Dolphin Club, I happened to meet Kim, and it just sort of went from there.
I don't know much about these amazing swims, but what she pulled off is absolutely incredible. I did not know that the swim from the Farallon Islands to the Golden Gate Bridge is considered to be the hardest swim in the world, because not only is the water very cold, the temperatures change, but you also have incredibly rough conditions. At some times you've got 10-foot waves. And then the great white sharks just circle the Farallon Islands. 10% of all shark attacks in the world take place in that stretch.
Yeah, it is not a swim for the faint of heart. And Kim's got a great big heart and a very, she has fear and she channels it, you know? So it's not that she doesn't have fear, but she channels it into something really, I think, very inspirational.
there are other swims, you know, people will have opinions about what swims are most difficult, but truly, you know, for all those reasons, the shark factor, the cold, the conditions, it really is like everything has to be all dialed in. And the stars, as Kim has said, you know, they kind of have to align in order to make a solo swim in that stretch of water. So it's incredible.
I don't want to give
a lot of grit and some luck from Mother Nature too.
Yeah, and I don't want to give too much of the film away, but she starts at night. So she's swimming at night. This swim took 17 hours and 12 minutes. And you got incredible footage. You and your team were there with her and her team. What was it like for you to be with her at that time? Because there was a likelihood that a white shark would appear, and if that happened, she'd obviously have to get out of the water.
Yes. So that's something that actually David Orr, who's the film cinematographer and really my film partner in this journey, we discussed that leading up to the swim and, you know, saying, hey, what if this happens? What are we going to do about this? You know, this is not, we're not looking for some sort of sensational reality TV thing here. But at what point, you know, what do we do here if that happens? And so we had to discuss those things. And so I would say, in short, the feeling on the boat with everybody, her crew and my crew, which was small, it was me, Dave, and our sound guy, Patrick Schaefer. It was very intense, a lot of adrenaline all around, and especially right before she gets in the water, and for really until the sunrise.
Anna, What grabbed your attention when you saw Kim Swims, the film?
I think just the complete story about her possibly losing her leg and just saying, no, that's not going to happen. I'm going to challenge this and I'm going to overcome and I'm going to swim. And she just put her heart and soul into it and dedicated herself to doing it. And I think her persistence and her resilience for wanting to have a goal and to achieve it.
Kim Swims screens this Thursday at 8 o'clock at the International Ocean Film Festival. It'll be at the Cal Theater in San Francisco at the Fort Mason Center. The festival kicks off this Thursday with 4 days of films, 48 films altogether. You're also going to show films at the Roxy Theater and also in Larkspur.
Yes, that's correct. It's our first time expanding to other theaters during the film festival weekend itself. So we're showing two programs on Sunday at the Roxy, and then on Sunday at 5 p.m. we're going to be at the Lark Theater up in Larkspur as well.
And you can find information at yourcallradio.org. Anna Blanco is Executive Director of the International Ocean Film Festival. Linda Booker is Director of the documentary Straw, which focuses on plastic pollution and the 520 million straws that are used and tossed every day in this country. And Kate Weber, her debut feature film, Kim Swims, follows Kim Chambers, who became the first woman to swim 30 miles solo from the Farallon Islands to the Golden Gate Bridge. It's one of the hardest swims in the world. And you can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We're live on Facebook. You can leave us a comment there or tweet us at Your Call Radio. Let's hear from Melody in Napa. Hi, Melody. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for addressing this problem. I just wanted to answer your question about why some people use straws, and that's because a lot of people have extreme sensitivity in their teeth, so it kind of bypasses your teeth. But I'm not sure what the percentage of people that have that problem and straw use, but also it's very easy to keep the compostable straws with you and just use those instead of the other.
Yep. And there's also, there are copper straws, metal straws, glass straws. Anna?
I think there's even bamboo.
Those are problematic cleaning. That's the only thing.
Oh, okay.
I think there's also bamboo straws as well. So in the film, there's a woman by the name of Jackie Nunez, and she started the last plastic straw. She just became so fed up with plastic straws. So you can actually purchase metal straws now, and you can carry them with you. So you can take them with you to a restaurant and say, it's okay, I have my own metal straw, which is really...
How do you clean them?
Linda?
Yeah. Hey, they actually, a lot of the straws that you can buy online come with their own little brush. And it's just a brush that you can, you know, stick through there, just like a little scrub brush. Also, Jackie did a great, little post, I think, on how restaurants have proven that they can run them through their dishwasher and pass all their health inspections. And so she's, Jackie's a great resource. If you go to her website, thelastplasticstraw.org, she has a lot of good information about the different sustainable alternatives. And also, I do want to point out that this is not an anti-straw film. We do understand that there are people, like you pointed out, that either has sensitivities or it might be an elderly person. We all know when we're in the car, we don't want to be spilling our drink. And sometimes a straw is, you know, the solution to that. But I think what we're trying to get people to think about is, do you really need to use them as much as you do or at all? And if you are going to use a straw, then please think about using a sustainable version that you can reuse. And, of course, that goes to the whole, when we're talking about plastic use, I think that's the greater message we want to make people think about after they've watched this is, what can you do to reduce your plastic use? There are so many, we are such a disposable society. And I had a young lady come up to me after I spoke the other week, and she was very disturbed about the amount of plastic throwaways that they use at her church. And she was like, what can I do? What can I come back to them with? Because at every event, every get-together, they're going through all this disposable dinnerware. And I told her, I said, well, you know what you could do is just go to a bunch of thrift stores and buy the real stuff. And, you know, it would be cheap. You'd be giving back to another organization. And maybe you could even lend that out to another community member that's having an event and needs a lot of the plates, utensils, cups, and so we're just really trying to get people to think about it in general.
In addition to Jackie Nunez with The Last Straw, you interviewed Wallace Nichols, author of Blue Mind. We've had him on the show. You spoke with people, scientists, professors. What else did you learn from them, Linda, about the research they're doing and how they think we should tackle this issue?
Well, one of the more alarming things that came out of a lot of these experts I spoke with was the issue of microplastics, which I knew very little about. And what I learned and what a lot of people are learning now is that microplastics are at a level in the oceans that nobody had ever realized until, I would say, in the last year. They have found it even at Arctic levels, sea levels. They're finding it in tap water. 83% of global tap water that they tested came out positive for plastic microplastics in it. And I thought, and that this of course begs the question of, well, that means that we're drinking it. And what does that mean? What are the implications of humans drinking plastic particles? And so the other thing that we talk about is the fact that a lot of clothing, synthetic fiber, is plastic fiber. So all of that is being shed when you're washing your clothes, and the municipal water treatment systems cannot filter that out, and that's why a lot of that is ending up in oceans right now. So we have a lot to think about. This is it's not just the litter that we can see, it's the plastic we can't see that really is a serious issue and a problem that thankfully a lot of people are starting to address now.
And Anna, you wanted to talk also about a beach cleanup day this Sunday.
Yeah, so we are hosting on Sunday, March 11th, an event called Take Action for the Ocean. And we're going to be meeting down at Aquatic Park at 8:30 a.m. And everyone's invited to join us. We're going to do a beach cleanup. We're also going to approach vendors and ask them to not use plastic straws. So it's a kind of interactive, get your feet in the sand, be a part of a bigger group of people actually doing something. And then the idea
you
is...
You have a great... Sorry, Anna. You have a great Surfrider chapter as well in the Bay Area, or probably, I think, several. And I know they've been doing a lot of getting out and talking to restaurants and bars about reducing their plastic straw use and takeaway wear products. So I think there's all kinds of activities people in the Bay Area can do to get involved around this issue. And I encourage you to look up your local Surfrider chapter. And also, the Plastic Pollution Coalition has a incredible membership of over 300, I think, in the United States, and 600 worldwide, of organizations that reach out to and ask, well, what can I do? And I think that's the thing about this film is that it offers somebody something they can do immediately the minute they walk out of the theater watching it. And I think maybe that's why it clicks with a lot of people, that they feel like what is an overwhelming situation can really be kind of just get down to even just something that small that they can make a difference about.
Ruby writes in saying, do you know what percentage of straws are discarded from hospitals, clinics, nursing homes? I mean, this is another good target, mm-hmm. because a lot of people just don't know or they don't think about it. Linda?
I haven't seen any research numbers around that, but you can imagine, I'm sure that's what's adding to the millions of straws, that figure. Healthcare systems in general, of course, want to use what's economical and sanitary, so plastic straws certainly offered a solution for that. It's interesting, though, that it was the paper bendy straw that came along that really revolutionized sort of the use of straws in hospitals. There's a young activist, Shelby O'Neill, who started a no-straw campaign there in California and did No Straw November, and she, since then, has been able to get an entire healthcare system in California to stop using plastic straws and switch to paper.
Wow.
And yeah, I know. It's great. And I think that's another very inspirational story, as well as Max in the film, who's 11 years old, going out and talking to restaurants in Costa Rica. There's a lot of youth movement around plastic litter, and I think their voices are very powerful when they talk to business owners or corporations about this problem.
Kate, when you were filming Kim Swims, did you run into this issue at all?
I think that less so when we were out in the wider ocean in the Bay Area, but certainly, we see plenty of that, too much even, just right in our, you know, aquatic park. So I recall after a big storm, we did have just a ton of stuff floating in, and that was really upsetting, you know, and actually even after some big celebrations in the bay, we've been out swimming, and I've literally dragged a vodka bottle in from swimming and, you know, people on their boats, and I'm guessing, you know, not sure how that got there, but plenty of stuff that it can be pretty jarring when you're out and you're really appreciating nature, and then you're seeing that or things washing up on the shore of the Dolphin Club or the South End Club, where we share our little beach. You know, it is upsetting. We see it, but maybe not as in some other areas. But I think once you start really looking, you see more than you probably realized.
Kate, you have been a photographer for 12 years. Kim Swims is your debut film. You've taken so many incredible photos of people's relationships with water and the oceans. What strikes you about how people relate to the ocean?
Well, I have such a personal connection with water. I grew up a competitive pool swimmer and then got into the ocean myself, and that really fed that interest. And I think what I see with people getting in the water, wherever you are, there's this real sense of calm, and I think the water itself, the nature of that is that it holds you in a certain way. It offers calm. It offers adventure. There's just so much to it. It offers a sense of renewal. And that's, you know, as Anna said, that's frankly what this film is about. It's not necessarily about some woman who swam, you know, 30 miles. It's really about resilience and what the ocean offers us. To go back into our ocean and our waters and find a sense of healing, find a sense of comfort.
Mm. What's interesting is in the film Straw, which screens Saturday at 10 o'clock, there's an amazing photo, horrible photo, of a turtle who had a straw stuck in its nose, and it went viral. And so photos really get people to act. And Kate, you went from, you're still a photographer, but you're also now making films. What are your thoughts about how storytelling changes when you tell the story through a documentary versus a photograph?
I think that with a film, you know, you have a lot more time to say something. You know, you have a lot more time to craft the flow of how you want that message to hit somebody, whereas, you know, a still photograph is so immediate that there's a lot more of a decisive moment in that, whereas in a film there are many decisive moments in what you're going to portray. There, I, you know, how I came to the film and thinking through the visuals of it was, yeah, from my still photography background. So, you know, what are some of those still images that will then translate into a moving photo, and what is the feel of that? So starting from the still image, but then having a little bit more time to sort of, you know, eke it out a bit and explore that. So
it's such a beautiful film. Kim Swim screens this Thursday at 8 o'clock. Let's hear from David McGuire with Shark Stewards, who will be on one of the panels at the Ocean Film Fest. Hi, David. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Rose. Great to be on your show.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks. I wanted to just comment on the festival, and one of the real strengths that are very important to the Ocean is the youth program. So there's free student education programs both on Thursday and Friday that fills the theater with local youth. It's free. So middle schools, high school, elementary schools come and watch the films and are exposed to the ocean. And then there's also a competition, and I think there are as many student films entered into the festival as there were feature and professionally done films or documentaries. And so that's on Sunday morning, which is a really great program, and it's inspirational, and we're actually going to be doing the beach cleanup and then walking over and supporting those youth films.
That's great, David. Any other films you're excited about?
There's a really great guide program I'm excited about at the Roxy at 4. I have a film in with a young filmmaker, young Chinese woman in Borneo. But there's a German film team that are some friends of ours that have a really great film on manta rays, which are essentially the equivalent of the new shark fin. They're getting killed for their gill rakers, and Shark Stewards is working on several campaigns in Malaysia and Indonesia to try to stop these from being killed. So there's a great activism component. Mm. And, of course, I'm always excited about the Shark Block, which we started 10 years ago, and that's Saturday at 1. And there are a lot of really wonderful films from all around the planet that are not just activism, but they're actually very inspirational and beautiful.
And you're going to be on a panel, David.
Yes, I'll be hosting a panel on citizen science following the Shark Block, so at 3:15 at the Firehouse at the Fort Mason near the Cal Theater. And we'll be talking with representatives from the Greater Farallon South Marine Sanctuary, the Bird Stranding Network, West Marin Environmental Action Committee. We'll be talking about MPA Watch, about iNaturalist, about Shark Watch, which we started, which is a citizen science program, and how people can actually get out and record data and actually learn about our natural world, as well as saving information for future managers or scientists.
Well, thank you for calling in, David. David McGuire with Shark Stewards, who does amazing work for sharks. That panel discussion will be Saturday at 3:15. Other panel discussions, Anna, there's one Sunday at 3 o'clock, Women in Ocean Science.
Yes, this is an opportunity for us to talk about the number of young women who decide to study marine biology, careers that are out there in a myriad choice of opportunities and careers that evolve in ocean science. It was very successful last year, and we decided to bring it back and give us an opportunity to talk about what's out there for women.
I love that. And again, the festival starts Thursday in San Francisco. Find more information at yourcallradio.org. We have just a couple minutes left. Let's get final thoughts from all of you. I mean, at the end of the day, this is really about your love for the ocean. Kate, when I watched your film, I thought, oh my gosh, if I didn't live in the Bay Area, I would go there tomorrow just to see. I mean, the footage that you have in your film is just so beautiful.
Thank you. I'm glad that came through, and some people that we have screened the film for have said, you know, watching this, it makes me feel I'm not a swimmer, but I want to get in the water watching this. And I think that's a really wonderful sentiment that people have come away with. And frankly, though, even if you don't swim or you don't like to swim, I hope that people are inspired by Kim Swim's that they see that there is this really wonderful, beautiful world awaiting them if they do want to dip a toe in as well.
Kate Weber is an award-winning photographer. Her debut film, Kim Swims, screens this Thursday at 8 o'clock. It's about Kim Chambers, who in 2015 became the first woman to swim 30 miles on her own from the Farallon Islands to the Golden Gate Bridge, one of the hardest swims in the world. And what about you, Linda Booker? Final thoughts?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Anna and the Ocean Film Festival for programming Straws. And it's just an honor whenever your film gets selected for a festival. It's greatly appreciated. I also do want to mention, though, that we also are a big part of what I wanted to do with this film when I made it is to reach audiences, youth audiences and student audiences and, of course, people of all age. And actually, our distributor is right there based in San Francisco, the Video Project. And if you go to strawsfilm.com, you can learn about how you can bring the film to your community or to your school. If you've got a, right now that's what we're having these screenings every around the world and here in the United States. And actually, the Malibu policy came out of the a meeting where someone asked if they could bring the Straws film trailer to the city council to show it. And then after the Malibu City Council saw that trailer, they got inspired to have a community screening, and it was sold out in like a week or two, and then eventually their mayor decided to get that policy made and passed just this a couple weeks ago.
Fantastic. Congratulations. Linda Booker is director of the documentary Straws that screens Saturday, 10 a.m. at the Cal Theater. And brief final thoughts, Anna?
You know, I just, I love the festival. There's so much happening. There's so much for everyone. There's a variety of films and programs. I'd also like to mention that the 2018 panel discussions are free to attend. The student film competition that David referenced is also free to attend. So it's just a great opportunity for us to further our mission, which is to save our ocean one film at a time. And without giving it away too much, there is our next generation is really who we are trying to inspire as well. And there is a film in the student film competition by a middle school, and the title is Strawbucks. So just to leave you with a little bit of a teaser of the student film competition.
Anna Blanco is executive director of the International Ocean Film Festival. It kicks off this Thursday in San Francisco with 48 ocean-themed short and feature films. You can find more information and watch trailers at yourcallradio.org. Kate, Linda, and Anna, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And coming up tomorrow on Your Call, we're going to start the show by speaking with a teacher who is on strike in West Virginia. That strike is still happening. And then we'll be joined by Bonnie Siegler. She's out with a book called Signs of the Resistance, a book filled with protest images from some of the most important social movements of our time. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Thanks for joining us.